Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kurula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Just because I'm excited, just getting the engine revved, you know? How are you, Eddie?
I'm good.
You getting excited for football?
Sure.
Are you excited for football or are you excited for Redskins football?
Redskins football.
Because the Redskins are going to be probably middle of the row, right? You think they
probably
have a chance?
I don't. It's the NFL. You never know.
That's true.
You never
That's
know
true.
In the NFL.
Did you watch any college football?
No.
Not even VT? Your
no.
alma mater, Virginia
no,
Tech?
I'm not a big college football fan.
Oh, man, it's the best.
No, the professionals are the best. That's why I watch the professionals.
Well, there's a lot of, like, the school spirit stuff is amazing.
Yeah, I guess.
I actually went to the USC game.
It's fun when you're in college. When you're out of college, it's like
oh, fun. No, I still, because you see potential players, but, you know, sometimes it works out. But I went to the USC game. It's the first game.
Did they win or lose?
They won, but it was the first game. It was 104 degrees in the stadium.
Oh.
So the first half, I actually watched it in the tunnels. It was so hot. I saw six people being evacuated for heat stroke. I mean, it was incredibly insane.
You're in the Coliseum.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. But... you know what was weird? It was a tie game, and USC was playing like shit the whole time. And then right around the middle of the third quarter, I was like, all right, it's starting to cool off. Let's go back to our seats and change the momentum. We sat down, and the whole game shifted. Like, it was like a twilight zone. All of a sudden, USC scored, but then they scored. So I was like, ah, oh, it's more of the same. And then USC ended up scoring three more touchdowns, and they only scored another field goal.
Who'd they beat?
They beat Western Michigan. So, it was kind of.
Is USC ranked this year?
Yeah, they're number four.
No, they should have beat Western Michigan.
They should have beat them, but you know what? The thing is, Western Michigan had two tailbacks that have been their all-time leading rushers. So they were just running all over us. It was crazy. It was kind of like, kind of a little bit vulnerable to show our defense on the opening game like
nice.
That. But, and then we had a blind. Long snapper.
I saw that. That was cool.
That was crazy,
that was
right?
Cool.
So, I mean, from what I understand, maybe you read the same thing, they had to get the other team's permission to not rush the dude.
Well, yeah, because you could just destroy him.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I think that's cool that the other team was like, okay, no problem.
My brother, when he was a kid and played, like, you know, ankle biter peewee football, and there was a deaf kid on his team.
And so, well, you couldn't tackle him?
No, you could do whatever. I mean, he was on the line, so it was just interesting that a deaf child would play, but you know,
well, that's visual though. You could still see.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's way different than being blind playing football.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is, I guess they gave him a scholarship when he was 12, and then he went blind when he was 12.
Oh, that sucks. I didn't.
So,
know that.
Can you imagine? And he like worked like he was going to be like another position, and he said, you know, let me try this long snapper. There might be a chance, and it was cool that he ended up playing. I was like, that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Did you have a good Labor Day?
Yeah, I went to see John Williams at the bowl.
Oh, dude, I saw your video. I saw the lightsabers.
It's cool. We went last year, too. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's definitely a special thing. Did you see Kobe Bryant come out?
Yeah.
That's dope.
He read the poem and
they
played the cartoon.
So I watched the video of that. I was like, I was not expecting that.
No one was. It was a surprise.
What, did he do any Harry Potter stuff, too?
Yeah. He did, I'm trying to think, he did three songs from Harry Potter. Did like three songs from Star Wars. Then
I saw he did Darth Vader. What else did he do for Star Wars?
Well, that was an encore. Imperial March was the encore.
Okay.
He did like some stuff from Force Awakens, and then he did. I'm trying to think of everything he played. He played some sort of melody from Close Encounters.
That's awesome.
Of the Third Kind, and then he did like four encores where he did Imperial March. He did Superman.
Yeah, I saw
two other things. I can't remember what they were.
You know, one of my biggest regrets is, I don't know if I've ever told you this, I got asked to sing as a kid. I was only like 9 years old to sing on a John Williams soundtrack for Empire of the Sun. Steven Spielberg was directing. And I still regret that. I was like,
as you should.
As I should.
You should absolutely regret that. Definitely. To the day you die, you
should. Yeah, and you know what? Like, I did a.
That should cause you to come back as a spirit and haunt something. That's how much regret should be in that. Honestly,
I do have a lot of regret for that. I'm like, why didn't I just. But you know what? Like, my brother did the audition, and he did it first, and he was like, oh, man, it was brutal. And I was like, I don't want to do that. You know, like, I took his perspective on it. So I was like, no, my dad was.
So you should come. You should haunt your brother.
Maybe I'll start haunting.
That's what it should be.
But it was definitely my decision. Totally my fault. But I was just too young, too dumb to know. And I've done a session with Danny Elfman also as a kid. Mm-hmm. So I would have done a session with Danny Elfman and John Williams. I mean, does it get better than those two?
Williams is the one true genius in Hollywood.
Yeah, I agree.
The one true genius.
I agree. And he does it over and
that
over.
That never
over
fails.
Again.
Never fails.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Like, there's nobody, the second place in that category. It's so far below John Williams. You know what I mean? So yeah. I feel you. Did your kid like it?
Oh, he loves it, yeah.
Did he like the Star Wars?
No, Superman. Thing? One of his favorite theme songs is Superman.
That's dope.
Harry Potter stuff he wasn't too big on because he just hasn't been a big Harry Potter fan. But.
Well, and you know, the Superman's like, that's like such an epic thing.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the big interlude where they do that, like the trumpet coming in at the top. Woo!
It's great.
Give me chills.
It's good.
Are you going to go next year?
Yeah, I try to go every year. It's
that's
so
awesome.
Much fun.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Like last year we went Friday, this year we went Friday, and it almost felt like the same playlist.
Oh, really?
So I want to
go on the Kobe Bryant thing.
That was different, but as far as like he played Superman and Empire,
well, those were his hits.
Yeah, he didn't play like Raiders or Jaws.
Yeah,
or,
that's true.
I mean, he's got a huge
catalog. When I saw him, he did Jaws, he did Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
he did.
So I want to go on a Saturday or Sunday to see if he plays other songs.
I had a friend that went all three nights.
See, I would do that.
Yeah, but he's a composer. He's like, I'm going all three nights. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's a little much.
Well, you'd see different songs. I mean, I think. Because I felt like I saw the same songs last year as I saw.
Oh, because you went Friday and Friday.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Same encore.
So did Kobe Bryant do all three nights then, or was just
I heard night? He did all three nights, or at least did Friday, that's Saturday. I don't know if he did Sunday.
Cool. So cool. I read the story about how it was a short on Tribeca that went to Tribeca and how
that's a nice little animated short.
That was the first time they met.
Yeah. John Williams said he's never even watched a basketball game in his whole life.
Oh my God, that's crazy, dude. Yeah. But yeah, he's a legend. Two legends, shall we say. Anyways, it looks like our special guest has arrived. Mr. Chuck Murphy, how are you? I'm going to have you get closer so the audience can, our studio audience loves you already.
You're killing me.
So Chuck, I saw you open for John Popper at the Canyon Club. Maybe that was like 2 months ago, I think.
It was about 2 months ago.
Do you play at the Canyon Club a lot?
This summer? About the last year, I've been picking up some shows at the Canyon
it's
Club.
It's a great
the
venue.
Rose, the Savon. They've treated me well.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it was awesome. And you had like, I think you had like a four or five piece band, but it was like a lot of guitars and a bass. I think it was just guitars and a bass.
Well, you know, what they do is they kind of tell you what you can go in and play as. You know, I do a solo thing as Chuck Murphy, but I also have a band, Big Coyote, and we're in the midst of putting out a record, and that's what we're promoting right now is the Big Coyote record.
That's awesome.
And when you saw us, they wouldn't let us have a drummer.
Why?
They just didn't want a drummer. They wanted us to be, you know, easy on, easy off, and not a whole lot of
gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that sucks.
You know what?
It's
interesting because it constantly challenges you.
Yeah.
You know, because when I'm with the band, it's kind of like I can get pretty comfortable.
Yeah, it's easy.
And
it's easy with the rhythm section.
Yep.
It's a little harder with acoustic.
Yeah. And I'm enjoying the ride right now.
You know what Eddie's favorite guitar string is?
The G string.
It is. It's a nice string.
I like that you said it with a straight face.
It's a nice string.
Yeah, it's right here in the middle.
Is that musical humor?
That's it's a G string. The G string is a G string on the guitar.
Yeah.
I was just making.
Oh, I didn't. I don't get musical humor.
But it's right here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Your favorite string, Eddie.
Right there it is.
Right in the middle.
That's right. So, Chuck, how did you get involved in music? What was the thing that got you really excited about wanting to be a musician?
Well, it's kind of interesting. When I look back, after meeting you, I checked out your bio, and I wasn't quite as fortunate as you with the attention at 9 and 10 and 11 and 12.
I didn't even know what I was doing.
Oh, my God, yeah. Neither did I. But that's kind of where my first tour started, was about 10, 11, right in that period of time.
That's amazing.
Going from house to house in the neighborhood, getting kicked out of the garages and out of the...
Did you have like a garage band?
Oh, well, I think we actually might have started the original garage
band. You were the first garage band.
Very possible.
I love that.
I hate to give it away.
So let me ask you this. What kind of songs were you kind of practicing in the garage? Like, what was like your rehearsal?
The first song I ever tried to learn was, and I play by ear, was a Monkees song.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
A believer.
Eddie, you gotta love the Monkees because I know you saw that TV show.
I was about so tall going, you know.
That was like their most like Beatle-esque song. I love that song because it's such a Beatle-esque composition.
Well, I'm not going to dive too deep into comparisons here and there, but the idea of I'm a believer, it's never gone away. I still am a believer.
That's good, as it should be. The dream should never die, right, Eddie?
Yeah, hope not.
You know what? You should influence Eddie a little bit more.
What?
He needs a little bit more belief.
No, I'm fine. Nice. I'm absolutely fine.
So you started playing the Monkees, and then what else did you kind of like put into the arsenal of...
It was a long time before things really. I started writing my own songs because of being self-taught and trying. I never had a lot of confidence as a young kid, and so I didn't have a whole lot of guidance. So therefore, here I am trying to learn by ear and figure it out. And it took me well into my 20s before I was actually. I won't say well into my 20s. Shoot, I was 19.
But you know what? It's crazy that music does that for so many of us. You know, it's like. It like gives you confidence that you may not have had with social situations or just growing up in neighborhoods. Where did you grow up, by the way?
I'm originally from Bloomington, Minnesota, which is a suburb of Minneapolis.
Okay.
And
I think I stayed in Bloomington. I just went to Minneapolis, and I think I stayed in Bloomington. Small city.
It's
right?
Small. No, it's really pretty big.
Maybe I didn't stay in Bloomington.
You got the Mega Mall in Bloomington.
Yeah.
You got, when I was growing up, you had the hockey stadium, you had the baseball stadium, you had everything.
Oh, I didn't see all that. Oh, that's not where I was staying.
Because now you have the Mega Mall covering all those, that area up.
I went to go, I visited Paisley Park. So I thought I stayed in Bloomington, but maybe I'm totally mistaken.
Paisley Park.
It's in... Chanhassen. Yes.
Yeah.
So is that close to Bloomington? Like about 20 minutes?
A half hour.
Okay.
Yeah, it's close. It is close.
Eddie's so bored.
Well, it's just a great geography lesson.
I'm sitting here.
That we're doing.
Just follow these fingers
in the
desk
middle
here.
Of the musical interview. Let's talk more about Minnesota.
Hey, we're shining
okay,
a light.
Okay,
shining a light
total
on Minnesota.
Okay. All right.
Just giving a little Minnesota
right.
love.
Yeah, okay.
Bridging the gap.
And Minnesota's right, a great place. It really is. And I grew up there. I spent a lot of years in Jacksonville, Florida. After that, I was in the military. I went in the military out of high school and ended up in Jacksonville, Florida, going to school and playing music.
What branch of military?
Navy. Yeah, I flew search and rescue off the Saratoga.
So that's awesome.
Did you go to the Bermuda Triangle?
We were out that direction for a bit in about 70, I'm afraid to say.
That's okay. ain't no shame in age here. Yeah, we're all old, man. That's okay. But Nappy's like, not me.
That's right. Nap in the house right here with my guys.
That's right.
Nap's in the house. He's going to help me out tonight.
So what are you going to play for us first?
You know, not to just turn into politics, but today's been a pretty wild day. And I wrote a song that's actually the first song we released off the upcoming record for Big Coyote. It's called Free to Be Free. And... what motivated the song was, it's crazy, you know, as I read for social media, and I sometimes get really bothered just by how much negative stuff that's out there about our president right now.
Yeah.
But then when I go to try to tell a story about a song like this, well, what motivated the song? Well, what motivated the song was the first Muslim band. You know, I mean, so what do you do?
I mean,
it's like you want to be supportive, but yet you're still being, you know, stimulated by emotion, by feelings about things that are going on,
We need more storytellers talking about that stuff.
Well, this particular story comes from my housekeeper in the heartbreak. She's Colombian, and she has a green card. And when she got the news of that first block, that was taking place. She, I walk in, out of my room in the morning, up to the kitchen, and she's crying. And I'm like, what's going on? Did somebody die?
Yeah.
She says, I want to visit my parents, and I don't know if I can come back.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, and I turned on the news, and I ended up writing a song about it. You know, for me, the song is pretty much the way it should be.
Yeah. You know, did you play it for her? Did you play her the song?
She's heard it multiple times.
That's
now.
Awesome.
Yeah. And her kids, who also live with me, are very supportive of what I do and where my music comes from.
That's awesome. We all come from somewhere, right?
Yeah, we all come from someplace, and it's. Let's just say, as a songwriter, there's a lot of stuff out there right now to write about.
I know it's almost too like turbulent.
There's so much. I mean, on one hand, you could do it can be satires. It can be all kinds of stuff you could be doing. But it's so real and so serious right now. And
right.
People just have to. Just slow down a little bit, I think, and just at the end of the day, you know, wake up in the beginning of the day, wake up and just want to be the best you can be.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, just be happy.
Yeah.
And be glad you got through the day.
And
now let's just work on trying to hug somebody during the day.
Well, give Eddie a lot of hugs because he's,
I don't need
Eddie,
hugs.
He's
I'm
very
fine.
Affectionate.
You need hugs.
We'll give you a hug before the night's over.
All right. See, that's giving you the kind of approval right there.
I don't know what that means.
All right, so go ahead.
No reading in between the lines. No. We're just giving love, brother. That's all we're doing here is giving love.
You know, Chuck, if you want to sit on his lap while you play.
No, go ahead.
I'm just kidding. What's the name of the song one more time?
Free to be free.
Free to be free. Here
Big,
it is.
Big Coyote's first new song. Sometimes we cry, sometimes we fall down, sometimes we fly. We'll come together, we'll chop things up. We talk about our struggles, we don't make things up. When we talk freedom, what it can mean. Freedom begins right here, between you and me, between you and me, between you and me. Freedom begins right here, between you and me. The freedom to love, what you feel. Freedom to hold on to, maybe reveal. Freedom to dream, be all you can be. Freedom to stand up, freedom be free. And when we speak of freedom, what it can be. Freedom begins right here, between you and me, between you and me, between you and me. Freedom begins right here, between you and me. Through another civil war, think of freedom, what it can mean. Freedom begins right here, between you and me, between you and me, between you and me. Freedom begins right here, between you and me.
Magical. Magical indeed. That's not what I meant to do.
That was
I pushed the wrong button.
You guys are something else. Jeez.
I must have missed a chord or something.
So
that's okay. We missed a couple of...
You know the funny thing is, I was like looking at your guitar, Nappy, and I started smiling because I was like, man, if I painted on my guitar, it would look so terrible. But that actually looks super cool. Who did that?
My wife, Lori Antoinette of lantart.com, and she does a great work at this kind of stuff.
It's awesome. It's such a cool, and you know what? It's so awesome because, like, you see a picture as you're playing. You know what I mean? Did she do the cover art, too?
She also did the cover art to my CD. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
I had a moment where I had some feedback on the picture I was going to use, where I had some people say, you know, they really liked one of the songs. It was and it was before the record came out, and the feedback was, you know, I like the song and you sound so much younger than you look.
People can be assholes.
So I said, you know, I think we need some street art.
Let's see what the kids are doing these days.
So Lori...
No, I can't draw at all or paint. I'm just terrified. And so I was like looking. I was like, that is so awesome. And I was just, I immediately went to place. I'm like, what if I tried to do that? And I was just smiling because I was like, there's no way that I'd be able to paint anything close to as cool as that. Mine would look like a bunch of stick figures that a four-year-old did. So it's awesome. Your wife's work is amazing.
Thanks. I'll send a picture to you guys.
Yeah.
Just follow at Nappy Nap and at Chuck Murphy. I'll put a picture of the guitar so you can see what you're talking
it's
about.
It's so cool. It's super cool. Anyways, you had some cool news. One of your songs just placed a Billboard. Did I hear that correctly?
Well, actually, we Peace Be With You CD that came out last year actually was spent 13 weeks on Billboard.
That's crazy.
It was crazy, and then we had How Many Times, the single, actually hung out for a long time on Billboard also, what's really crazy to me is over the, obviously I've been around for a while, and after 40 years suddenly, boom.
Yeah. It takes time. You're like, it shouldn't take this long.
Well, it's like it takes time, and it's like, and it shouldn't take this long, but at the same time, it's like, I never dreamed something like this could happen, where all of a sudden people are looking at me like,
it has, you know, the journey has moments of surprising you. That's what's cool about it, you know? It's like you have this trajectory that you're hoping for that actually happens, but along the way of the actually happens part, there are moments that surprise you, things that you never thought you'd do, you know? Eddie just did an amazing performance at the Shrine Auditorium in front of like 6,000 people. Right?
Yeah. Well, it was like 2 years ago.
Well, but it wasn't amazing. Like 10 years ago.
No, you know? But, yeah.
So, you know, just never know like what is around the bend or what's ahead of you until you're like, oh my God, this is happening right now. That must have been an amazing rush to see your name on Billboard.
Well, you know what? It was. It was. I had gone through all the independent charts that are available in hitting number one, and I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I never dreamed that we'd ever hit Billboard. I just figured I'm just another guy out there with the independent charts and damn happy to be here.
That's crazy.
And then Billboard happened, and then a handful of other things happened, which...
So you said originally you started this garage band in when you were 19, 20.
No, actually, 9 or 10.
Nine or 10. Man.
And it was, and when I say garage band, I mean, I'm serious.
It was the rootsiest garage band of them all.
You know, we could have been, you know, who knows what we were doing, really. Yeah. What we were trying to do was special, but what we were actually doing, I don't know, was that special, really.
So did you go through, like, so many different bands, of being a part of others,
You know, just the opposite. For me, it was I never had the confidence to play with bands. I always thought everybody was better. I'm still struggling with that. Mm. I really appreciate people with talent. And I ended up doing nothing but a solo act. I started studying music, and I started doing solo act and played where anyone would have me. And then down in Florida, it just started to take off. I got a manager jumps in, a record label jumped in. And
that's amazing.
I was in my early 20s, and the next thing that happened is a record label jumped out.
Well, that happens too. That happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, it was just, I mean, and that's pretty much the whole career that I was dealing with. And after about 15 years of doing the solo thing, I said, you know, this is going to take a lot of money. That was one of the first realities I had, and I didn't know where the money would come from. So I just started working, you know, it's a pretty interesting past, and
Mean when you were working outside of music?
Outside of music.
Okay,
yeah,
wow.
I mean, if you're sports fans.
Right? Yeah.
Well, one of the things I did in Minneapolis after I moved back there from Jacksonville is I opened a restaurant that if you're going to football games, you might have gone to, and that was Maxwell's Cafe. It was about a quarter block from...
That's awesome.
...from the Metrodome, and I had that going for about 10 years,
Were you doing music during that time? As when you were a restaurateur?
I was trying so hard to get out of it. I was really trying to get focused, and then all of a sudden, the restaurant started doing well, and the next
you get
thing
sidetracked.
You know,
it's easy. To
well, the next thing that happens is I'm trying to get music out of my system, thinking I want a family, I want kids, I want stability.
Mm-hmm.
I start spending money producing a new record.
It doesn't leave you. That's the thing.
It doesn't.
I could stop playing music right now. The next 30 years, and 30 years later, I will pick it up and want to get back in it. It just never leaves you. That's what's crazy about it.
No, it is, and that was right about the time I realized that music was my drug, you know, and that's what kept, and that's where it was going to be, because I shortly there after, it was roughly 2000, right about 2000 when I got out of the restaurant business, and came out here. I said, you know, I got to give this one more shot. So I came out here, and nobody wanted to deal with an old guy out here. This is California, Hollywood, the whole nine yards. And after a couple of years of banging around the movie sets and trying to get people to license music and do this or that, I went right back to the drawing board and said, this is going to take a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating because it's like you have to invest or find a way to reinvest. And that's constantly what you have to do. Like the steps, no matter what you make, in the back of my mind, no matter what I make as a musician, I always know it's going to be reinvested into an instrument, a recording, gear of some sort, or touring, merchandising, marketing, etc.
Yeah.
It's a little bit frustrating, but it's like once you kind of come to terms with that, then it's like, okay, I expect this. This is what I have to do, and I have to know when I'm going to make a record. I've been kind of like holding off on making a record because I'm like, I know how much investment it's going to be. Right now, I'm okay with not investing that. I'd rather invest in gear. You know,
well, the lesson I learned this time around is that the industry has changed tremendously, which I think anybody that's trying to make money in it knows that, including the major labels.
Yeah.
And even after you have some good things happen, and you're expecting certain things to kind of fall in place, because Peace Be With You was up for a Grammy last year.
That's crazy.
Which, you know, it didn't make it, but it was submitted for a Grammy, and I thought that was a first time for me. Billboard was a first time for me, and all this stuff was a first time. But I did expect a little bit more in return,
right?
You know, from all of it, because if what happened to me last year would have happened 15 years ago, it would have been a whole different financial story,
right?
But thank God I got to work and made some money.
Yeah.
So this did it. You know, it was a dent, but it didn't wreck the car completely.
Yeah.
It didn't total the car out.
No, and a lot of artists are like they're trying to figure that out now. Like a new artist, I always like, you know, I have so much compassion for the new artists because they have to, you know, pay for records. I mean, even when you do a comedy CD, Eddie, Are you? Do you, I mean, how does it work? Do you have to pay the club to do like a comedy?
No, you just try to do book some dates and do shows, and just happen to record while you're there.
But it's like the timing of it. Like you have to be completely seasoned in what you're doing, as far as like knowing this is what I want to record.
Right? Well, no, you just record. You try to book. I mean, if you're doing a comedy CD, the best thing to do is do it on your own. Book a weekend at a club, do four or five shows at the club, record them all, and then cut them all together.
Oh, okay, I see. Is that what you did with the Taste Like Pennies?
Yeah, but that's why. I mean, that's the way to make the most money. Is you do it yourself, and then you put it out there, and then you don't have to worry about splitting it with anybody. You can get a record label, same with like music, but it's. They take so much. And
it's funny because it's like when you make a music CD, it's the exact opposite. Like you're in a room, no people around, like you're isolated. With comedy, it's like you need the people there.
Oh, well, yeah. That, if you don't have laughs, it just sounds, I mean, that's half of it. You know?
It's crazy. Different mediums, but all going for the same superstardom, right? So what are you going to play us next? Do you want to play something from the record or do you want to play something live?
We're gonna play another song. I mean, if you want to play something from the record, we'd love that too. We'd love all you'll do for us.
We're gonna do it all. So,
but as we're talking right now, I'm what's happening to me is I'm realizing that you know I don't want to let something slip away, because as we're talking about how cool it is after 40 years of having some positive things happen, and then realizing that right around the corner could be the next thing you do.
Yeah.
What do you say? How about we play a song and talk a little bit? Because we've got something that I would like to talk about. And it's a nonprofit that we put together. Because part of what's happened with me and that I got pulled into in a very wonderful way was the opportunity to work with some young kids over the last year and a half, young singers, and helping develop kids from 11 to 20, actually.
That's awesome.
And never dreamed how much that would do for me. You know, and what I mean by that, I mean talking about doing for my head and my heart.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, once we get to, well, I'm not, again, once you get to a certain age, you know, there's other things more important than yourself. And right now, that's kind of where I'm at.
When's Eddie going to get there?
I did 8 years ago when I had a kid.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? The funny thing is, as soon as I saw him have a kid, I've seen that shift in him. And it's like, you're right. You get, you know, past the wanting the glory, and you become a part of like wanting to be part of something that leaves a legacy in a more positive way.
Yeah, I mean, it's less
self-serving.
Well, it's like that idea of, you know, early part of life is all about what can the world do for me.
Yeah.
And then as you get a little older and experience a little bit more, you start to realize, what can I do for this world?
Ooh, it gave me chills. I love that.
And what's interesting is that this record came along with Peace Be With You, and it's... It was interpreted in at a time when nothing's being interpreted the way you want it to be interpreted. This record was interpreted for me the way I wanted it. It was heard the way I wanted it to be heard. Peace be with you.
Awesome. Let's hear it.
But this is actually a song off of it. It's off of that record. It's called Falling Star. It was written in January of last year, January 18th, actually. Glenn Frey passed away. And Glenn Frey was a big, real big influence on me, the Eagles.
Did you ever see the Eagles live?
I never had the opportunity.
Man, I saw him right before he died. And it was I think, October 3rd. That was the date of the show. And I was like expecting a good show, but I was not expecting the show that I saw. It was unbelievable. They were so tight. It kind of blew my mind. I saw Elton John 3 days later, and I was more excited to see Elton John in a way, because I thought he'd be even better than the Eagles, and it was totally the opposite. The Eagles slayed it, and Elton John was good, but the Eagles slayed it. I mean, it was unbelievable. So my respect for Glenn Frey is through the roof, because he was a lot of the, you know, the machine behind the Eagles.
Absolutely.
Ways.
And what I'm learning is that every movement, no matter how big or small it is, and needs somebody like Glenn behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and Nappy's helping do that for me right now.
That's awesome.
Hey, I got to do what I got to do. Whatever things that you can do in this industry to stay relevant, do it.
Absolutely. See that, Eddie? All this positivity. Mm. What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. What are you doing?
I'm going to give you a hug afterwards.
I don't want a hug. I'm good.
All right, let's hear it.
I look out on the California sky, and I can see the eagles fly. The music echoes through the desert canyon walls as we ride. A burning man, salt and sea, another desert ride. We would ride, we would ride like eagles fly. Well, love was sweet, but it's easier to catch a falling star. We would dance, we would dance under those stars. I wanna kiss you in the desert tonight. I wanna hold you all night long. Taste your lips like seamy wine. We could dance, take the chance. Dance under the stars. You could be my falling star. We're Malibu, Sunset Beach. We would ride from town to town. We would ride. Ride like eagles fly. And I want to kiss you in the desert tonight. And I want to hold you all night long. Well, taste your lips like seamy wine. We could dance, take the chance. We could dance under the stars. You could be my falling star. We could dance, take the chance. Dance under the stars. You could be my falling star.
Why can't we look at each other like that?
We're past that.
That moment, we're like an old married couple.
That moment's gone.
Yeah, that was really beautiful. I loved all the harmonies. I loved the arrangement.
Thank you.
Great solos, by the way. I'm digging it, man. I like a good tasty solo. It goes a long way in my book.
Hey, I come from the school with Eddie. I see the Maiden shirt he's got underneath.
Oh, yeah. Trooper.
There you go. They're the best. They're vintage now.
You can't hide that hard rock and roll from Nappy.
You know what? There's something about just shredding guitars that just... You can't not love it. But I also, the yin and yang of that for me is like, I love just a well-written acoustic tune. So, you play harmonica?
Yeah, in my head. You hear it?
I do. It's a little loud.
It's really loud in my head.
Into the vibe. So tell me when you recorded this record.
Started recording this record in early 2015.
Okay.
And... really didn't have a whole... I mean, the reason I started recording the record wasn't so much because I thought I had a hit on my hands or I thought I had something special. I was trying to get the band to record a record and I couldn't get the old guys to jump in and say, let's do this.
You couldn't get them to commit.
Because I don't think that they were comfortable in what I might want to do and how I would produce something. And what ended up happening was... they worked on the record with me, and they loved the way it turned out. And we put out the first song, How Many Times, early on. It was late 2015, and ended up with 86,000 listens on SoundCloud in a month.
Wow!
And I thought that was a big deal. And
crazy.
And so everybody started getting excited, and we just started putting things out. And by January, I just wrote the song Falling Star that I just played. And then I had an emergency kind of situation where, like, I had to go to the hospital. I ended up with a hemorrhagic pancreatitis. So I was
what?
In this,
you have like theme music going on while you tell this.
Yeah, it's crazy. And what ends up happening was we had recorded How Many Times, or excuse me, Falling Star, and then I end up in the hospital. And well, what I had done is I put it up on SoundCloud. Before I went in the hospital, I go in the hospital, have all the surgery done. I'm out 10 days later, and not feeling well at all. Well, no. Medicated for another couple of weeks. Wow. And a month goes by, and we had over 3 million listens.
Wow.
To Falling Star.
That's crazy.
And as we sit here right now, we've got over 24 million listens.
That's incredible.
Wow. What kind of... You just put it up there and it just happened? There was no promoting?
We promoted it. The way I was promoting it is I would put it on Facebook. I would take a link from SoundCloud and put it on Facebook. And so it was all just social media promotion. And I think I put $300 into the 86,000 that we got on How Many Times. And
that's
I put
crazy.
$300 into the Falling Star song. And promoting it, you mm-hmm. know, around the world. And but the Falling Star just took off. And then right after that is when I hired the radio promoter. Yeah,
that's crazy.
And
that SoundCloud is at Chuck Murphy Rock. And also, he's got
Nappy's like a great PR guy. I just want to carry you around with me, just in case I miss something.
Well, he might want to hear it now that we're talking about.
No, absolutely. No, you're right.
He's also at Chuck Murphy Rock on Twitter as well.
See, I like that. See,
Chuck,
this has got to be you doing it too.
What's the problem? I have a problem with all that self promoting.
I know it's tough.
You know, it's like I've just started recently wearing T-shirts that have the band name or my name on them when I'm performing or doing something.
Yeah.
Because it actually sells T-shirts.
Wow. Yeah.
You're modeling for them.
You know.
That's what they always say. Like, you don't wear your own merch unless you're a pro wrestler or Iron Maiden. Yeah. It's like the only two things. That's only two times you wear your own merch.
That's the only two? That's it?
Yeah, pro wrestler or Iron Maiden. Those are the only two people that should wear their own merch. Wow. That was the saying, but it's changing. Because it sells more the more you wear it.
Interesting. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're having a good time, you know, and...
Well, let's play something off the record.
Yeah.
What do you want to play?
I think Peace Be With You is something, just because it's the title track. And,
all right.
And I think it's something that we could just need to hear.
All right, let's hear it.
Here we go.
and I've been at war for a long time. Though we run the same blood, and as a child I was quite a warrior, although it seemed you'd always won. I remember back in 65 on the battlefield one day, I was hurt lying by the old house. Remember what the old man had to say. Peace be with you, brother. May the water flow your way. Peace be with you, brother. May you live a long day. But we're still at war. Different battlefields, I know. I've been thinking about our destiny. I wonder where we're gonna go. Look around, the world's on fire, filled with broken dreams. Let's leave the world a little bit better, with love and harmony. Peace be with you, brother. May the water flow your way. Peace be with you, brother.
Myself and Jeff Silverman in Nashville.
Very cool. I like the key change in the guitar solo.
Thanks.
Caught that. That was awesome. I was like, oh man, that's awesome. Like, I never would have thought to do that. It was just elevated the song from that point on. It was great.
Pretty. And Jeff Silverman is an amazing. Jeff's got a history of his own, but I mean, which started back in the 70s with Rick Springfield. And
who? Just kidding. I love Rick Springfield. He's a legend too.
He was the lead guitar for Rick, and then. But when I met him, when I came out here in 2000, he was nothing but a studio cat that's doing nothing but producing beautiful music. I mean, and then he ends up moving to Nashville about 04, 05, and it's just amazing how our relationship has stayed as strong as it has, and we just keep on working at things. You know, I track them here and I send them to him. He mixes them. So I mean, as far he's like my East Coast band member.
That's awesome. No, it's nice.
I mean,
when you find people
him.
Like that.
I really
seasoned
feel that.
Cats like
yeah.
that.
I mean, I really feel that way about him too, because he's just and I've been very fortunate, because I've been this time around I've met people, and it's just like yourself. I mean, it's like it's more of an embrace and a peaceful kind of thing, and it's not so much competition. It's not so much, you know, it's just making music.
Well, what are you playing live next?
Where's our next show, Nap?
Nappy. Maybe I should have asked you.
We actually have some things coming up here that are in the Antelope Valley, and they're a little bit. Right now, I'm in the midst of we're taking just a couple. We're recording our new CD, and we're going to be taking a month off. And what we're actually doing is, I've got a couple things, a CD that we're working on, but I also have a nonprofit called Music and Kids, and what we're putting together is for the Antelope Valley children in seventh grade through high school, and we're going to do the best we can, as long as they let us into the schools, to work with the kids
That's awesome. Just
to really try to give kids the
music program that they deserve.
Well, that they don't get anymore,
you know. It's
and
crazy.
And we're gonna go in and spend some time with them in the classroom, but we're also, every time we go into school, we're gonna have those teachers figure out who the natural talent is. Imagine yourself, because you were one of those prodigies, but young kids that
you hear that, Eddie? Prodigies.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to.
I'm just kidding.
No, I'm not. But anyway, I mean, we're gonna pull, every time we go into a school, we're gonna find one that's got the ability to have, that's got parents that are supportive,
yeah.
at least one parent that's supportive, that will get them to these music lessons, and we're gonna sponsor these kids 6 months at a time, and as long as they're doing well, we're gonna keep on sponsoring them. In music classes, whatever it is they're
studying, awesome.
Whether it's vocals, whether it's guitar, whether it's drums, whether, you know, and I mean, what I would love to do is be able to raise enough money to put, you know, the whole music facilities back into the schools. You know,
that's fantastic. But, I'm going to applaud that right now.
If they want more information about that, they can go to www.musicandkids.org.
Music A-N-D?
Yeah,
okay,
the full
cool.
spelled out and A-N-D.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Chuck, where can people find you if they want to donate money to this cause in addition? Like they.
We're not taking money in yet.
Okay.
And the reason we're not taking any money in is we're still waiting for our IRS letter saying that we're a nonprofit. So we're not taking. I'm not promoting it as a nonprofit. I'm funding it myself right now.
Wow,
and,
you are a mensch, man.
And we're just hoping that it all comes out before I run out of money.
Well, that's a reason alone to buy your music, just to support you for that cause.
But you know, for me, as we're talking when we started this whole thing, is that you never know where the music journey is going to take you. And you never know what's around the corner. And for me, it was really working with young kids and realizing how many of them just, they have got talent, but they just don't know what to do with it.
Yep.
They don't have people that are helping direct them. And with all the changes, since the new technology has come in, I mean, I say it's new technology, but, you know, I mean, it's been around for a while, but it's completely turned the music business on its head,
right?
And everybody in the business is trying to figure out how to make money.
Yeah, I can see that.
And kids are out there just like, what happened to my dream? I mean, we still have football, we still have basketball, we still have baseball, we have these things that kids can, those programs, but the arts are gone.
Well, in closing, I just want to say, like, I heard something from Jimmy Iovine, and he said, all it takes is for one prince to be turned off or turned away because he thinks there's no future in music, and so many people in the world lose, you know, they lose that chance to celebrate music, you know, so I think you're doing a great thing. And Chuck, thank you. And Nappy, thank you for coming by. It was a wonderful opportunity to meet you guys and interview you guys. Eddie?
Yeah.
Doing all right?
I'm doing good.
You ready for these hugs? We're having a lot
of
hugs.
No, we're not hugging. We're not hugging.
The hugs are coming.
I'm running out of here.
Well, we'll see you guys next week. And Chuck, thanks again for coming by. One more time, what's your website for people to know?
ChuckMurphy.net.
All right.
Yeah, and you can follow Nappy at NappyNap with one P in the middle and on Twitter.
Awesome. All right,
and,
guys.
And more than anything, remember musicandkids.org.
All right.
Got it.
Sweet. We'll
see
you guys.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you guys. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Eddie.
Bye.